I'd love to understand together. I'd love to prepare together. We have 2 months of Adar, a little more time to prepare for Purim. Definitely for Purim, that seems like it requires more preparation and more framing. We have no idea. We have no idea what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in store for us in the next couple of weeks. Halavai, we should be zeuchet to nisim gluyim. The Gemara says in the Masechet Tanis, Misha nichnas Adar marbin besimcha. Rashi appears to be commenting, hard to know for sure, it sounds like he's responding to that language. Why didn't you say, Adar, Be'adar, Marim B'Simcha, it's a Misha Nechmas Adar, from when Adar comes in. So Rashi makes a comment, it's a reference to both Adar and Nisan, which are times of an incredible Nisan and Geula. The Gemara Seches Megillah talks about the significance of having, in such a year, when it's Shana Mubaras. In Shana Mubaras, we celebrate Purim in the second Adar, in part because we want to have Mismach Geula L'Geula. We want to connect shoulder to shoulder the Geula of Purim, the Geula of Pesach. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Pesach is a time, Nisan is a time of Geula Asida. So halavai, that we should be zochet to open miracles between now and Purim. But regardless of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store, it's definitely a Purim of a unique year. And I thought that maybe we could get together over the next couple of weeks, on Wednesday nights, and prepare ourselves with the Nevi'im of that era. We're going to be exploring over the next couple of weeks, hopefully some of the words of Haggai, Zechariah, and perhaps Malachi as well. These three Nevi'im were all peers of Mordechai. They all lived during the time. They lived through the Nes of Purim. And all three of them were spoken about Galus and about Geula. They spoke about Tshuva and they spoke about Aliyah. We sometimes refer to these three as the Nevi'im of the Shivas Tzion. This time, that period of coming back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of Galus Bavel. Chazal referred to them in a number of contexts as the end of the Nevi'im. Gemara and Sota, Mishnah and Sota talks about the period of Nevi'im Rishonim versus Nevi'im Acharonim. So who are Nevi'im Acharonim? Gemara comes to the conclusion, Nevi'im Acharonim, who lived beyond the period of Urim Tumim, those are these three, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. Gemara and Bava Basra refers to them as the Sof HaNevi'im. The Gemara wonders how come Treyasar, which is a single sefer, Alpi Halacha, but it combines the brief records of Nevuah of 12 different Nevi'im. They span centuries. The Gemara says, how come Treyasar appears at the end of Nevi'im after Yeshaya, if Hosea, the first segment of the Treyasar is Hosea, he was Yeshaya's Rebbe. So he lived before, he came before Yeshaya. And the Gemara says, well, the Treyasar needs to be at the end because these last three, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they're all the way at the end. They're Sof Nevi'im. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Samach Beis, talks about these three Nevi'im being sent in a halachi context, the Masechet Zvachim, talking about the construction of the construction and sanctification of the Mikdash. These three were sent in part to teach us halachos and lessons to bring back masor halachic masoros that would be necessary to reinstitute a Beis HaMikdash. And they live much after everyone else. All the other Nevi'im we have run through the period of the Bayis Rishon up into and beyond. Yirmiyahu continues to function after the Churban Bayis Rishon. Yechesel continues to function after the Churban Bayis Rishon. But you come to Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, now we're on the other side of Galus Bavel. Now Galus Bavel is coming to an end. Sefer Ezra opens and Sefer Divrei Hayamim closes with the fall of the Babylonian Empire. They're conquered by Koresh, conquered by the Persians, and Koresh issues an edict that giving religious freedom to the Jewish people, and specifically giving the Jewish people the right to return to Eretz Yisrael, and to rebuild. They have permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They'll continue to be a part of the Persian Empire. Yehud will be Judea, will be a colony of the Persian Empire, but the Jews have the right to return. They have the right to make Aliyah. Koresh even has all sorts of incentives for making Aliyah, and permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Jews came back under their leadership, the leadership, among others, of Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. We're going to hear soon about Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, who was a peer of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel took almost like the position of a melech, as it were. And Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and they come back. And the beginning of Sefer Ezra tells that they attempted to build. There was our neighbors then were also not keen on the idea of the Jews returning to their ancestral land. And our neighbors then were particularly not keen on the idea of the Jews reconnecting with Makom HaMikdash. And at the time, the idea was to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. And our neighbors then, as described in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, decided to be very friendly. Maybe we'll work on the project together. Zerubbabel didn't think that was a good idea. And then our neighbors at the time decided to take a less friendly approach. And there was a tremendous amount of political complexity. And there the program languished. So the construction, the program, the project of building the Beis HaMikdash had been launched, and then it just sort of foundered. And it just lay there for almost two decades. And here Haggai, in Ezra, it's in Perek Hay, where suddenly you hear Haggai and Zechariah appear on the scene. And there, it's in the course of the story, Chag and Zechariah appear in the scene, they're going to start to restart things. But we're actually going to, Chag and Zechariah appear as key figures in the telling of the story, the narrative in Sefer Ezra and Perek. Here, we're going to turn our attention, though not to Ksuvim, not to Sefer Ezra, but to the end of Treyasa, to the words of Chagai. Hopefully in coming weeks we'll have a chance to see some of the words of Zechariah and perhaps Malachi as well. And I mentioned before, as we begin to explore his words, I mentioned before that hopefully Chagai and his chaverim will help us to prepare for a unique Adar. Not only because of the messages, I said, that overall, speaking about Shiva Siyam, speaking about Galus and Geula, and rebuilding, there's another fascinating connection in the very first pasuk. Take a look. You have a psukim in front of you. Chagai, prakim-wise, is a total of two, organized in two prakim. B'shnashtayim u'dayavash ha-melech. Here you are, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. It's the second year of Daryavash. This is, we're several emperors after Koresh. It's been a while since they had originally come to Eretz Yisrael with great hopes of rebuilding. It's the second year of Daryavash. B'cholosh ha-shishi. Yom Echad LaChodesh. It's the sixth month, the first day, as an aside. Or close, but except the other way around. So we're counting, but I want to get to our dates in a moment, because dates are actually fascinating. Over the course of 30-some-odd psukim, we're going to come across three, four different dates. Chagai is unusually dense in terms of dates. Many Nevi'im, some Nevi'im, give dates for when Nevuos were delivered. We saw a little bit in Daniel as well. And many of them give very little in terms of dates. Chagai is very dense with dates. And I think, I didn't find Sfarim that points this out, but I think if you pay attention to the dates, they're all fascinating. They seem to be incredibly significant. We're counting from Chodesh Nisan being the first month. So the Chodesh HaShishi is Elul. This is Rosh Chodesh Elul. And this is perhaps one of the sources for Rosh Chodesh El being a time of a call to transformative tshuva. Let's see what he says. Hayadvar Hashem b'yad Chagai HaNavi. We don't hear his father's name, but he is Chagai the Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a prophetic message, a nevuah, to deliver El Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel Pachas Yehuda, the governor, the Jewish governor of the province, the colony of Yehuda, Zerubbabel, whom we mentioned. He originally been sent as leadership for the Jewish people by Koresh, Bel Yehoshua ben Yehotzadok HaKohen HaGadol Leimar. So he sent to Zerubbabel the political leadership and Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, the name is probably familiar, if nowhere else, than from a Haftarah that's drawn from Zechariah. Right? We lay it more than once a year. We lay it in Baal Oscha. We lay it at Hanukkah, because that's of the Zechariah is made of many images. That's the image of the menorah. So Chagai and Zechariah are contemporaries. He's still speaking to the same Kohen Gadol to whom Chagai is already speaking here. Before we even see what he says, though, in Pasuk Beis, another word about the framing of it in Pasuk Aleph. In addition to noticing to whom he's speaking, to Zerubbabel and to Yoshua, in addition to noticing when he's speaking, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, the month and the day are Rosh Chodesh Elul, but the year, as was common at the time, the years are given the years of the king. It's the second year of Daryavish. Who is this Daryavish? So it's intriguing. Many of the Rishonim on the page, the Rashi, Radak, Ibn Ezra, all quote a comment that the Medrash Rabbah has, Vayikra Rabbah. Who was this Daryavish? He was the son of Ahasuerus and of Esther. Remarkable. A Jewish emperor of the Persian Empire. It also means that this Nevuah is coming, just sort of getting back into the Purim mode. This Nevuah is in the shadow of the Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim didn't happen so long ago. And on the heels of the Nes, we don't know how much longer Ahasuerus lived after the Nes of Purim is completed. Nes of Purim, so the story of Purim itself takes up almost a decade of Ahasuerus' reign from beginning to end. And shortly after the passing of Ahasuerus, in the second year of his son's succession to the throne, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Chagai with a message. This is the aftermath. We're exploring the aftermath of Purim. And the connection may go even deeper than that. Let's see what Chagai has to say. Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos, in Pasuk Beis. Chagai sent his Rebbe and Shaltiel to the leadership of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Here are the words of Rebbe Shalom. Ha'am hazeh amru. How do you translate the next couple of words? This nation, these people, Am Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, they're saying, Lo eis bo eis beis Hashem lehi banos. Which, loosely speaking, sounds like the people are saying it's not yet time to build the Beis HaMikdash, as mentioned. They had started and stopped, and it's been close to two decades by now. How do you translate that? That's an awkward way to say it. Lo eis bo eis beis Hashem lehi banos. The next hal psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is then going to give the response. But how is he describing what the people are saying? How is he describing that?
Maybe it was a slogan. Eis bo, eis bayis Hashem libanos. End of quote. And he was saying, no, it's not that. It's not time for that slogan.
Oh, maybe. So that's interesting. Ibn Ezra says something like that. I'm not sure if it was a slogan. That's interesting. Ibn Ezra understands it's just it's a fancy way of saying lo ace or lo ba ace base Hashem libanos. The double ace. Ibn Ezra says you find that sometimes vani ana ani ba, repetition of the word vani. He says here also it just means it's not yet the time. That's one approach. And I think the Targum indicates that way as well. Rashi understands that we're talking about two times. Rashi understands that there was, Yirmiyahu had famously given the Nevuah there would be 70 years of Churban, 70 years from Churban to rebuilding, Churban to return. So Rashi explains that there were two different Itim. There was one 70 years that had ended when Koresh had sent them back. Another 70 years was ending now. The first 70 years that had ended 18 years earlier, that was counting 70 years from the rise of Bavel. From the rise of Bavel until the Jewish people were given permission to return, 70 years. But there's another 70 years. And that other 70 years is from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a political 70 years, and that's when they had gotten the permission to come back, and there was a spiritual, so to speak, a Mikdash 70 years. So that's what you have, and Chagai is saying, people think, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping his times? Is he not keeping his times? He's sending us back. He sent us back, but it's not time for the Beis HaMikdash. And then The Malbim has a third approach. A very, very fascinating approach. He says, there's nuance to what the people are saying. He says, let's understand why people are pushing back. They're saying that there's a time before Lo Eis Bo, Eis Beis Hashem Libanos. We haven't yet had the time that's supposed to come before the time of building. Malbim says that the people were saying, we heard the Nevi'im of the last century or two, since the days of Yishayahu and Chizkiyahu. Nevi'im have been talking about Geula. Yecheskel spoke plenty about the Milchemes Gog u'Magog. Other Nevi'im spoke also throughout the Treyasar. They talk about very, very difficult and then miraculous times that will precede the time of Beis HaMikdash. And if you look back to the days of Shlomo, they built the Beis HaMikdash when there was already peace. There was already Menucha. And after they had taken care of Amalek, and after they had taken care of all the Oidim, then they built the Beis HaMikdash. So the people were saying, build the Beis HaMikdash, there are prerequisites. We should first be seeing the preceding ace. There should be an ace of Oso Samofsim, or there should be ace of Menucha, and subsequently will be the ace Binyan. It's not time. We haven't yet had the preliminary step. That's how the Malbim understands this. Lo ace bo, ace base Hashem of Nos. We haven't yet had the first time, that preliminary time that Nevi'im spoke of. There should be great Nisan, there should be great peace, and then we could talk about building Beis HaMikdash. So of course we're not. You want to know why we're not building Beis HaMikdash? We're waiting for our Kadosh Baruch Hu to take the first step. Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to show us the preceding steps, and then we'll know. When we see Nisim, then we'll build the Beis HaMikdash. When we see peace, then we'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. So that's interesting. So this is asking, well, they just saw the Nes of Purim. Didn't they just see the Nes of Purim? And that's actually, I think that's a fantastic point, and I think that feeds into the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. It was Bederech HaTeva.
Totally, right, naturally.
Which I...
you miss it if you're not watching.
Right. And it seems like they may have. If you read the Psukim in the ninth parak of Esther, the aftermath of the Nes, when they talk about establishing a Yom Tov, so the Malbim points out, read the Psukim slowly and carefully, number one, it sounds like not everyone had felt in danger. It seems like the people who are in the outlying open areas felt in danger. They're the ones who were on their own before the formal top-down takana of Purim. There was a psukim describe it. There was a grassroots cause, so I responded by beginning to put together some sort of Purim. But it sounds like, you know, some Jews had felt more jeopardized, and they felt like they had experienced Yeshua. And there are other Jews who had felt that they were good. We were in the big cities. We were in the Yaros Mekafas Choma. You know, we had our friends in high places. And we're good. We were never in any danger. So it's only subsequently part of the messaging of the Vatichto of Esther Amalka, of writing the Megillah, was to point out to the Jews, no, you were all in danger. And notice how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you. Because it was so under the radar. What the Megillah does, and then we'll come back from this to Chagai, what the Megillah does, we take the story of the Megillah for granted. But the Megillah, I think it was discussed other times also, the events of the Megillah take place over the course of almost a decade. So over the course of a decade, there must have been 10,000, let's imagine, news stories. Different things happening. Right? What the Megillah does is to gray out almost all of them. And there are, of the course of Megillah, how many episodes? There are like 5 or 10 episodes of the course of Megillah, which means the Megillah is graying out all of the noise. And over the course of a decade of time, we said, but if you notice this story, and this story, and this story, and this story, you notice what happens with Vashti and with Esther and Bitsa and Teresh, all of a sudden you see a pattern. But if we were living then, or if we were reading some secular history, even if it was accurate, but those handful of stories are mixed in with everything else. you're not going to see the pattern unless you know how to look. The Megillas Esther is teaching us to look, to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fingerprints when they're subtle, to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's working below the radar. Exactly, when he's not doing Nisim Gluim like the time of Pesach, then it's Nisim Nistarim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working, but working through Teva. And now let's come back to Chagai. And I'd love to take more questions. Because Chagai, what does Chagai then say? So he says, he comes to the first part of Chagai's message, he comes to Rubavil, comes to Yoshua, and says, look, here's what your people, our people, are saying. They're saying, it's not time. We're not building. It's not the time to build. You know, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu there for us, whether it's Rashi's approach, that you know, we don't see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculations are working, we don't see how the 70 is coming together, or the way the Malbim says, we're supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash once HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim Gluyim. We're supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a peace in Eretz Yisrael, which they certainly did not have. They had been saved from empire-wide extermination, but they still had, at the time of Purim, they still had tremendous tsaras from the local neighbors. That had been going on throughout, as is described in the opening proclamation of Ezra. And then Chagai says, "Vahidvar Hashem biyad Chagai navi lemor." And Kadosh Baruch Hu then speaks to Chagai, which seems like a superfluous pasuk. I could have skipped that. Chagai says, "Ha'es lachem atem l'shavet v'atechem svanim." Is now the time to sit comfortably ensconced in your homes? V'habayis hazachariv. Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu's home is destroyed, and we're going to go on to see what he says. So, but let's appreciate. On the face of it, he's saying, no, you should be building Beis HaMikdash. And he's making the argument of, well, you're sitting comfortably at home, you only care about your own comfort, you don't care about Kadosh Baruch Hu's home, right? That seems to be, on the face of it, the message. Now, two things, though. Number one, what's Pasuk Gimel doing there? Seems entirely superfluous. And number two, Pasuk Dalet isn't really responding to Pasuk Beis. If indeed we ought to be building Beis HaMikdash now, so then it's inappropriate and irresponsible of us that we just care about our own creature comforts, you don't care about the Beis HaMikdash. If now is the time to build. But if their argument had been, it's not the time yet, we're waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let us know, we're waiting for his Nisim, so then, I build my own home because I need a home. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't ready for a home yet. So what's going on? How do things flow? So the Malbim has a fascinating point, and then we'll actually go back to Pasuk Aleph as well, perhaps. The Malbim says, Pasuk Gimel, that is, the message is part of the meaning. The delivery of the message. Chagai says, you ask where are the Nisim, are supposed to be Nisim before you build Beis HaMikdash? Did you notice that I'm speaking to you? Did you notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending Nevi'im? Did you notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Nevi'im? As the Gemara in Zvachim describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Nevi'im, really the period of Nevuah should have ended, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a final trio of Nevi'im. Chag and Zechariah Malachi, sends them off to Eretz Yisrael. Go be Misnabi to Klausel. Did you notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out? Not fully. You're expecting the full set of Nisim, you're expecting it fully to Yisrael. You're not going to see that yet. But he says, he said, the way the Malbim describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking a little bit, to borrow the metaphor in Shir Shirim, and that means that now is the time that if you start to reach back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get things rolling more. And and that, I think, that's an incredibly broad concept. I think Nevuah is maybe an example of what sounds like a broader phenomenon, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will start us off with a little bit of Hiskarvus, a little bit of Siman Ge'ula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reach out a little bit, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaching out a little bit is a siman to us that there's great potential at the moment for Ge'ula Shleima, but now we need to jump in. Kadosh Baruch is reaching out, and he wants us to jump in. And the language that the Malbim uses is so beautiful. He says, don't you see, Chagai says, that I'm speaking to you, that his that the Or HaNavua is Zoreach. Re'u bi Ori she Zoreach, that Breisha, that Bamidbar Rabba, where Mashiach says, don't you see this light is shining? The Malbim seems to understand that means, don't you see Navua? HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't doing everything, but you're seeing the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a little bit. And you're supposed to see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out in remarkable ways, even if it's not full, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out in remarkable ways, as we see over the last century and as we've seen over the last, in the midst of tragedy over the last couple of months. You see a greater hiskarvos in a certain sense. That's the siman that now there's incredible potential for far greater geula if we jump in. And he says that's what Chagai is saying. You're waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hand you a silver platter. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a little bit, and then you have to do some of your own ameilos, and then more will come. You know, the Ibn Ezra comments on the two names that appeared in the opening pasuk. The primary audience of Chagai's initial nevuah is Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, specifically Zerubbabel ben Sha'altiel and Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. So Ibn Ezra quotes that Zerubbabel was actually not. If you trace it back to earlier Svarim in the Tanakh, Zerubbabel was not a son of Shaltiel. He was a nephew of Shaltiel. Zerubbabel's father had passed away, and Shaltiel raised his son's, his brother's son. So because he had raised him, so Zerubbabel is referred to as Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. While Yehoshua is... He's described as Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak HaKohen HaGadol, because Yehoshua is now the Kohen Gadol, or will become the Kohen Gadol once the Beis HaMikdash, I figured that out, but his father had been the Kohen Gadol at the end of the Beis Rishon. So it struck me that even in just describing the two primary members of the audience in the framing of Pasuk Aleph, the Pesukim are already sort of presenting two different ways that things can unfold and come into the Bayis Sheni. Sometimes things could unfold in a very straightforward way. Yehotzadak had been the Kongal at the end of Bayis Rishon. Now his son Yehoshua is in line to take over Yashar. And sometimes it's going to be a more circuitous path. Zerubbabel is Ben Shaltiel, not literally Ben Shaltiel. He had suffered tragedy. Zerubbabel's biological father passed away, but Shaltiel had stepped in and raised Zerubbabel, and he's being described as that. Almost like you're seeing sort of the two different models for how things can play out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care, but it may be direct, it may be indirect. The way we had seen last year when we were exploring earlier Nevuahs of Geula, Yeshayahu beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, talking about Chizkiyo, the psukim that we lay in Chutz La'aretz is a haftarah for Shemini Shal Pesach, Pesukim that many in Eretz Yisrael associate with Yom HaTzmaot a couple weeks later, V'yatza choter megeza Yishai v'netzer mishar Hashav Yifreh. Yeshayahu describes the Bias HaMashiach as the continuation of Malchus Beis David, but maybe something sprouting out of a trunk, or maybe something sprouting out of roots. The Malbim there explains that if Yechizkiyahu would have been Be'al HaMashiach, there would be a very quick, very short gullus. So there would be like, you know, the stump is still visible. Stump got cut down to a stump, and then something's growing straight out of the stump, and you see the HaMashiach. If there's going to be a longer, longer pause, as tragically there has been, of centuries and centuries and centuries, between Binyan, centuries of gullus before the Geula, so then it's going to look like everything is gone and something fresh is growing. But the truth is, it still is a hemshech, just the roots were there below the ground, you couldn't see it. It won't be as obvious a hemshech, but the process is still a hemshech. That's perhaps what's being captured here also. Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel versus Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. It could be a very clear process, or more circuitous and less obvious, and more painful along the way. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes as the two images that Yeshayahu presents us with, of Mashiach coming, in advance with great nisim, versus Mashiach coming at a later date, a more natural process to get there. And that's what Chagai is describing. That corresponds back to what you were saying. In the aftermath of the Nes Purim, which was Nisim Nistarim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us in remarkable ways. But it didn't hit you in the face. You had to look. You had to see. So the people are still waiting for, we want Nisim Gluyim, and then we'll know it's time to build a Beis HaMikdash. And Chagai says, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out. And even a step beyond Nisim Nistarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu working within the political psychodynamics of the Persian court in the time of Esther and Mordechai, this is, Nevuah is a Nes Galoy, a more explicit expression of a miraculous expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, but it's not everything you're waiting for. Okay, but I'm here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out. And if you take the next step, so then you can unlock the full power of the moment. And then, what does he then say? Ha'eis lachem atem l'shav zivatechem sfunim. You're sitting in your homes, ba'is Hashem chayiv. The Radak says it's a sarcastic line. Like, God. You can't be bothered to build a Beis HaMikdash, but you can be bothered for your own creature comforts. The Malbim says, consistent with his approach, he says, you weren't bothered by the fact that you've moved back to Eretz Yisrael in relative peace, even though the Nevi'im only described that as happening at a later date. You didn't say, I can't live in Eretz Yisrael in relative peace because, I haven't seen all the other Nevuahs happy. No, you take what you can get. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will offer you that before you think you're going to deserve it. Okay, so he says, well, in that case, why are you so willing to embrace peaceful living in Eretz Yisrael if you're not willing, and despite, lacking the chronology of the Nevi'im? So by the same token, embrace that maybe the chronology of the Nevi'im isn't going to play out the way you think it's going to. Maybe you're not going to see all the Nisim Gluyim right away, and already jump into Beis HaMikdash. And then he has a line that he uses several times. And it's a line that the Mesillas Yesharim quotes early on from Chagai. And it's a line that he uses a number of times here. As a matter of fact, the full phrase appears twice in three psukim. Pasuk hey, Yatakom Hashem Tzvakos. Now that I have your attention, now that you see, you're starting to hear, your slogan, as it were, where we have to wait until we see all the nisim before we start Beis HaMikdash. Sesimu v'avchem al darkeichem. Pay attention to your paths. It's a Mesillas Yesharim. Describes as sort of paying attention, zehira, as being reflective about the decisions that I make. But in the context, Chagai, that's true too. Chagai here is talking about reflect on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reacted to you. How has life been? Zratem harbe v'ave ma'at. You're planting loads of seed and you're harvesting very little. Achol v'ein l'sava. You're eating but you're not satiated. Shaso v'ein l'shachra. You're drinking and that's not having an impact either. Lavosh, you're getting dressed, vein lachomlo, but you're not particularly warm or comfortable. And then here's a great image. Mistaker el tsuror nakuv. And people are making money, they're making money into a leaky wallet, a punctured wallet. Tsuror tsuror kesef is a wallet, a money bag. It has a hole in the bottom. So, you're making money and somehow everything you're doing just isn't, the food is... The planting isn't really having the desired impact, and the eating and drinking, and the dressing, and the making money. And what's his point? His point is, simu l'acham v'darkeichem. Stop and consider. Have you noticed? You're just coasting through life. You're just sort of going the flow and getting through every day. Stop. And this is, along the lines of how the Mesillas Yesharim quotes him. You can't just stay on the treadmill and just go day by day by day and always be too busy doing to take time to reflect. That's what Mesilas Yesharim understands. The first step in an organized, methodical approach of great growth in Avodas Hashem is Zehiras, which he understands to mean taking time out to think and to reflect. You can't always be doing. Every once in a while, I got to step off the treadmill, stand on the side, and look at it, and consider what am I doing and where am I going. And what Chagai is saying here is also consider, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu messaging me? I'm so busy trying to keep up. Have you noticed that it's not working? Have you noticed that there's also a miracle, not the type of miracle you're hoping for, but have you noticed that you're miraculously not working? The eating isn't working, and the dressing isn't working, and the farming isn't working, and the business isn't working. Why? Again, simu levavchem al darkechem. Pay to focus on where you're going. And if the first one was focused on sort of what's been happening to you, so reactively, how is the Kadosh Baruch Hu treating you? The second one is probably along the lines of what Mesilas Yesharim is saying, focus on what you can do. The first one was focused on Hanhagas HaBorei. The second one was focused on Hanhagas HaAdam. What decisions could you make differently? Alu HaHar, HaVeisam Eitz, Ibnu HaBayis. Go up the mountain, get yourself wood, and let's get to work on the construction project. Let's start building Beis HaMikdash. The Eretz Ebo V'Ikavda, Amar Hashem. And I will desire. That's the response. You thought Kadosh Baruch was really interested based on mixtures because he hasn't given me all the miracles and he hasn't given me all the remarkable rest. This is Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me to tell you this is what I want. You build the based on mixtures on the present circumstances, and this indeed is what I want. And not only that, but there's an even more direct response to the opening. A problem that the Jews had raised, lo ace bo ha ace, having a see the nisim, the eretz bo v'kavda bo, I'll desire, that's a ritzah is often language that you hear in the context of karbanos. Kadosh Baruch Hu will find this pleasing. The ikavda, you understand the ikavda. Ikavda, the Mal points out, means I will have kavod in the house, meaning I will display nisim there. Once we have a Beis HaMikdash, you'll see plenty of nisim. The nisim that you're looking for, they'll be in response to your, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached out a little bit, and if we respond, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reach out far more fully. And indeed, there were plenty of nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. It's fascinating. The Gemara in Yuma understands. You see, the word v'ikavda is a kri of ksiv. It's a missing in the ksiv, in the way it's written, it's missing the hay. And the Gemara understands in Yuma that's a reference to the fact that there were five things that were missing in the Bayis Sheni that were present in the Bayis Rishon. Different versions of exactly what those five things are, but five of the particularly spiritual, they were missing the Aron, they were missing the Urim V'Tumim. There were certain aspects, the second Beis HaMikdash was not as overtly spiritual and miraculous as the first one, and that's what the Gemara derives from the missing hay. In context, you appreciate it well. Because ikavda means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying there will be plenty of nisim based on mitzvah. Okay, so it's missing a hay. Out of that, the ikavda, the nisim, there'll be five missing. Because there'll be a whole mass of other nisim. There'll be a whole mass of other nisim. And he says, of the next couple of psukim, he says, sort of repeats it. What I already described in Pasuk Vav, that things have been working so well, and maybe that's the indicator that you ought to be building Beis HaMikdash, he sort of doubles down on it. It may get even worse. The Malbim explains, Pesukim Tes Yud Yud Aleph, if you don't listen now, and the Malbim says something powerful. He says, up until now, it's been a Hester Pani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passively stepped back. You haven't been experiencing as much Hashkacha Pratis. There's been a lack of, a reduction of Hashkacha Pratis. So maybe you haven't benefited as much as you could. But now I'm reaching out. So if I'm reaching out, if you don't respond, so then there'll be not just a lack of more Hashkacha Pratis, a Hester Panim, but there'll be Chas V'Shalom a affirmative Onesh. And that's what he's saying in Pasuk Tes. And the people respond. Yishmazru Bavel ben Shealtiel v'Yashu ben Yehud Tzadok in Pasuk Kedeis. They heard. Chol Sheiru Sa'am and all the rest of the people. V'kol Hashem Elokeihem. V'al Divrei Chagai Anavi kasher Sholacho Hashem Elokeihem v'yiru'u ha'am p'nei Hashem. They heard and they had Yira. What they heard and they had Yira? They heard and they had Yira? So there can be different ways of understanding. The Malbim understands that means that there are two different groups being described. The more spiritually sophisticated appreciated his message. They understood what he was saying. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling this opportunity, this potential. Like you were saying, that so the message of Purim is continuing. The ability to read this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signs more subtly. And that's what he had been saying before. That's what he had been saying. You're right. This time it's not, I'm not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't front-loading with a full set of Nisim Gluyim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending an Avi. There are, if you look for the fingerprints, you'll see them. So that's what the Zerubbabel, Shealtiel, the She'eris Ha'am, which may be a reference to the other spiritual aristocracy, they really heard what was being said. Vayiru'u Ha'am Pnei Hashem, perhaps means the Malbim says, that the people who are not as spiritually sophisticated, they didn't necessarily appreciate the nuance of the message, the uplift of the positive, sophisticated message, but they had a year as ha'onesh. They heard the last three psukim. Chagai said, if you don't do this, it's not going to be good. So the more spiritually sophisticated, the Tamei Chachamim, had a sort of a year as haromos. They were elevated by the positive message. And people who weren't equipped to appreciate that, but they had a year as ha'onesh. Either way, everyone was in. Everyone was in. And they get to work. They get to work. And they have a tremendous yata d'shmaya. And Ruach Yoshua ben Yotzarak, HaKohen Gadol. The Ruach. This brings us back to like a Sefer Shoftim. To hear someone that has a Ha'aras Ruach. Wow. V'yavol v'yavsa malacha beis Hashem tzvakos elokehem. And they get to work building Beis HaMikdash, and even though there's a, Ibn Ezra points out, even though there's a parsha break, but this continues into the next pasuk. B'yom esrim v'arba l'chodesh b'shishi b'shnas shtayim l'dayavish hamelach. They get to work. They get to. He had come initially on Rosh Chodesh El, and this nevuah, perhaps these different paragraphs who had been delivered over the course of weeks, hard to know for sure. On the 24th of Elul, that's when they get to work. And then, Perek Beis will pick up, as you see, B'Shvi B'Esrim V'Yechad L'Chodesh, Chaf Av Tishrei, and Hoshana Rabbah, after they've been at work for 4 weeks or so. So then we're going to hear Chagai's next message, now that the Beis HaMikdash is under construction. I would close, though, with the following Ha'ara, which we had opened by thinking about the significance of the dates. It opened with, and now you look back and appreciate, Chagai shows up, Rosh Chodesh El, this wasn't just a Musar Drasha. This was transformed, this was the beginning of something totally new. We're starting Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Navi for the first time probably in decades and decades, on Rosh Chodesh El. So the whole Tshuva movement, this initial call to Tshuva, Rosh Chodesh El. They get started building the Beis HaMikdash, remarkably, on Chaf Dalet Elo. Chaf Dalet Elo has other significance also. Because Chaf Dalet Elo, the Gemara has a machlokas more than once in Maseches Rosh Hashanah alone, whether B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam. And the whole back and forth in Rishonim, how to work that out. The simple reading of the Gemara is that our Nusach HaTfilah that talks about Rosh Hashanah, in those terms, indicates like Rabbi Eliezer that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. B'Tishrei Nivra Olam means that Yom Shishi, Adam and Chava are Aleph Tishrei, which means that Yom Rishon is 5 days earlier on. Work it out. Are we right or are we wrong? Maybe I was off. It's Chafei. So this is the day before. The day before Ma'aseh Bereishis. The day before the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis is the day that they get to work on the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure what the significance is, but as I mentioned, the Chagai is very date dense. from Rosh Chodesh El to Chavdal El. Then we're going to have the next mesh is going to be on Hoshana Rabbah. And all of this, again, is under the rubric of the second year. This is all happening. We keep hearing again and again, the second year of Ben Esther. The second year of Dayav Shemel. Yeah, that referencing that the Ikar Rabbah we had mentioned before. This is all the aftermath of Purim. And these are the messages of Purim. And Purim was the incredible Geula. At the same time, Purim was inobvious, and it took a lot of work. For us, it's easy, 2020 hindsight, looking at things through the lens of provide for us by Mordechai and Esther. But it was hard, incredibly hard at the time to see the positivity. It was very easy to see the tragedy of Esther being taken, and to see the fright of the Gzeiras Haman. And the Jews, meanwhile, in Eretz Yisrael, also, there were Jews in Eretz Yisrael who were dealing with their own difficulties. And Chagai had to wake them up. Get some perspective. Get some perspective and notice it mixed in with all the pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting that you're going to respond. And when you do respond, then in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, on his end, ramp things up. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem next week. See what happens. When Chagai returns and the day you have begun to build the Beis HaMikdash.